ओम शांति। 6th June 2019 थर्सडे। दिस स्लोगन, दोज हु इम्बाइब वर्चूज देमसेल्व्स एंड डोनेट देम टू अदर्स आर एम्बॉडीमेंट्स ऑफ वर्च्यू। दोज हु इम्बाइब वर्चूज देमसेल्व्स and donate them to others are embodiments of virtue. To imbibe virtues and then to donate them. These are the two things. And those who do this, they become the very embodiment of virtue. So the first step is to imbibe virtues, imbibe means to drink, imbibe means to drink. The process of imbibition is the process of drinking. So those who imbibe virtues and then they donate virtues, they automatically become the very embodiment of that virtue. So most important thing is to imbibe divine virtues. In our university, out of the 4 subjects, the 3rd subject is imbibing virtues. So how do we do that? What should we do with virtues? What should we do in order to imbibe them? Yeah. What should we do? It is not just the virtues, but we have to imbibe so many other things. If we take the 7-day course, it's all about imbibing knowledge. So it's not just virtues, but the entire knowledge. If we start with the chapter of soul, to imbibe this first chapter of soul, then to imbibe the 2nd chapter, Supreme Soul, the 3 worlds, Seva, and the 4 subjects of the university, the knowledge of drama. To imbibe means you turn everything into practice. To imbibe means to turn everything into practice. The knowledge of drama should not remain there as a theory, but we should be using this theory in everyday life so that it becomes practical, so that we can remain stable, immovable, unshakable. The 4 subjects in today's Murli, Sakar Murli Baba said, to remember all these points of knowledge is to remain manmanabhav. To have these points of knowledge in intellect is also a definition of manmanabhav. So these are so good things, you should keep on remembering them. You should keep on remembering them. That's the last statement of today's Murli. These are the things to remember, Simiran. And the more you remember them, the more you remain happy. And more you remember them, the more you can imbibe them. So if you just go into the steps of imbibing anything, I'm not just talking of virtues, but imbibing anything, three worlds, knowledge, Supreme Soul's knowledge, soul's knowledge, and everything related to this world drama. The process of imbibition needs first reading, second listening, and third understanding. Today's Murli starts with that point. God has come, Baba has come to explain you. And why does he explain you? Because you have not understood it. Because you have understood it not fully. That's why he comes to explain you. So, any point of knowledge, if one has to understand, first step is listening or reading about it. Either reading or listening. Then trying to understand it. And then try to churn it all alone. Sit somewhere and try to understand what God is saying. Try to understand the deeper points of knowledge. Because there are two ways of churning. One is group churning, another is individual churning. Group churning has its importance, where you can do brainstorming, you know, group discussions. But individual churning, you are not trying to explain this to any other person. You sit and try to explain this knowledge to your own soul. You try to understand, explain this knowledge to yourself. Because nobody in the world knows you better than you yourself. You yourself are your enemy, and you yourself are your greatest friend. I do not know my disease. Nobody else in the world can know my disease better than me. If a patient goes to the doctor, it is the patient only who introduces himself, and the doctor keeps on asking what problem you have, from how many days you are suffering, did you ever had such problem before in the past, are you allergic to something, were you admitted in the past, how long this problem is persisting, what you did to solve this problem, what all pathways you have tried on. So many things. So doctor is trying to extract information from patient. And patient himself knows more about himself than any doctor in the world. So here, in the similar manner, nobody else knows me more than what I know myself. Even if I try to explain somebody who I am I really justified in telling the truth? Am I really telling him the truth? I will tell a person A tells B everything about himself. But not everything A can tell B. There would be some points which A alone would know. And even if A tells, B might never understand. So, I myself know what I have understood and what I have not understood. How much I realized, how much I realized things and how much I haven't. So that's why one of the ways of journeying is to go in solitude, is to stay in solitude, is to be alone, is to be in the company of your own self and trying to reflect, meditate, contemplate on the deeper points of knowledge. So read about it more and more. For example, an engineer student is not interested very much in engineering. Rather, he doesn't know anything about engineering. His parents tell him that you have to take admission in engineering college, and he takes admission in engineering college. And once he is into the college, then he starts developing interest. And as he progresses ahead through graduation, then he realizes in which field I have to do post-graduation. These all questions cannot be answered at the 12th standard level. This he can take decision only after going through graduation. So, it is the maturity of his understanding that happens once he enters the process. So here also, when you want to know something, the first step is you have to keep on reading more and more about it. It's not that I have read this much and it is finished. Keep on knowing more and more about it. Try to know, just as there is a crime committed, and there is a investigator, a CID officer, what is their approach? They try to get every small clue to reach the criminal. For them, everything is important. For example, in this particular room, a theft has been committed. And lay people say, we don't see anything. There's nothing here as a clue to find out who has committed it. But a detective, a CID officer, an investigator, he will try to analyze each and everything. For him, nothing is waste. Everything is a clue in the similar manner. One must behave like a CID officer. One must behave like a detective with a glass, magnifying glass. One must behave like an investigator who is investigating. One must behave like a researcher who is researching. One must behave like an archaeologist who wants to know the source of every old, every lost, every broken statue. For him, nothing is useless. So our approach should be like detective. Our approach should be like researcher. Our approach should be like an investigator. An approach should be like like a detective. So go with a magnifying glass and try to see each and every point of knowledge. Then only, whether it is reading or whether it is listening, when we listen, it should be one-pointed listening. When we listen as if each and every point of knowledge is percolating into the subconscious mind, is getting penetrated into the gray matters, into the cortex. So reading should be one-pointed. Listening should be one-pointed with concentrated mind and with that attitude of a detective, as if you are going to find out a clue and solution, an answer to a long-lasting question which is there in your mind and which you have tried to extract answer from every day, from everywhere, but to no avail. So here is the time to become a detective and then try to crack this case. So read that way, listen that way, try to understand that way, try to churn that way, try to discuss in that manner, and most importantly, go in silence every day. If we have 24 hours with us, how much time we should spend in churning knowledge? How much time? Churning of knowledge, how much time? 2-3? Of course. So, at least 4 hours. At least 4 hours. One should be in solitude. And when I say solitude, I am not talking about subtle solitude. I am talking of gross solitude, when nobody is around you. And silence. Physically, nobody should be around. Gross solitude. The only voices you would be hearing would be the voices of nature. A deep love for solitude, then only the deep churning of knowledge takes place, otherwise it's impossible. Another thing is, you might be in the crowd and yet in solitude. That's out of higher practice. When you do this practice of staying in gross solitude for a long time and suddenly you are thrown into crowd, so here also you can stay in solitude, just as that example is there in the life of Emperor Akbar, that once he was running, he had some work. He was sitting and doing namaz, and it was a forest, and he was going somewhere, and suddenly a woman, a young woman, who is running fast, and she is running so fast that she hits him and she runs away. So he is infuriated, but since he was doing his prayer, he doesn't say anything. But the moment he finishes his prayer, he gets up and tries to find who was that lady who was running so fast that she did not have even respect for the king, and she is showing utter disrespect. It is an absolute insulting that I am doing prayer and she is hitting me and running away. How dare she do that? So he orders his shoulder to go and grab her, and they bring her back, and he asks her, how dare you do that? She said, what I did? He says, you hit me and you ran away. She says, I did not know. I heard that my lover had come, so that's why I was running to meet him, and that's why I have no idea whom I hit. I have no idea what happened in between. My mind was only engaged in him. He said, you might be running, but you hit me while going, and I was doing prayer. So she says, you are doing prayer means you are remembering your beloved. So what sort of remembrance is this that gets disturbed by someone else? It means that your mind was not totally in your lover. I myself do not know that I hit you, and how do you realize it? So he doesn't say anything. So when the practice of loving somebody is for a long time, then one can love him in the crowd also. When there is a practice of being in the solitude for a long time, one can be in the crowd and yet be in solitude. One stays in silence for a long time, and then suddenly is thrown into speech. So even though somebody is speaking, yet there is a deep silence within. So silence is the point. If you draw a circle, here we are, and this is the orbit of work. Work, relationships, talks, meetings, job, business, affair, everything is going on here, but everything is arising from that deeper silence which is deep within. And that's why even if the person is speaking, he is not speaking. Even if the person is in the crowd, he is still in solitude. So understanding knowledge needs silence. Understanding knowledge needs solitude. Understanding knowledge needs introversion. Baba says often that go in and sit in the cave of introversion. So to churn this knowledge is to imbibe the knowledge. Now we'll come back to the slogan. This was about the imbibition of every point of knowledge. Baba is saying those who imbibe virtues. Now we have a list of virtues with us. How many list of virtues we have? How many virtues we have? 36 are written, but if you write down, they can become more than 100. There are list more than 100. So anything can become virtue. You just churn, you just think. So when you want to imbibe virtue, you have to undergo the same process. First, go in silence, go in solitude, go in, become introverted. Then read about it, then write about it, then think about it, then churn it, try to understand it, discuss it with others, and implementation, planning about it and then putting into practice, experimentation with it, working on it, have converting virtue into drill. For example, purity is a virtue as well as power. Purity is a virtue, is a power, is a treasure, whatever you call it. So convert, write a short drill on purity. Or whatever virtue one lacks, one should stop and think about it. For example, self-control. So one lacks self-control and one loses self-control so many times. Or peace. So one must churn on peace. One must think on peace. One will have to give time. And what about donating virtues? How do we donate virtue? Take the virtue and give to others. How do we give it? How do we donate? By imbibing and becoming embodiment. There is no such a virtue is not a thing that I give to somebody. For example, one is disciplined. How does he is donating discipline to others? By showing his disciplined life. Jagdish Bhai has mentioned somewhere that he had gone to meet some minister, and in that secretary office, so many people were sitting, and he also sat, and they had to sit for hours on end. So for 1 hour he was, more than 1 hour he was sitting, and there were so many magazines kept there. But he just sat, he did not touch a single magazine. So he just sat like that, calm and quiet, standstill, as if in yoga. And the secretary got so impressed that here is a man who is unruffled, undisturbed, sitting here. He is just as if meditating. So probably this is a man of substance. So that's why he was called first. So, not getting distracted. In today's world, if you try to read something, you get distracted. By every small thing, every message, every WhatsApp, every email, or when one sits in room or house, the greatest distraction is digital. Second, food. One wants to eat something. Something or other. You keep on searching what is there. And eat this, eat that. Something like that. Or some voices. What is happening in the road. Something or other distracts. So that's why the process of remembrance doesn't take place. If one wants to remember Murli, for example, or read it at least, you read it, and while reading, you get distracted by so many things. So how can you remember? The lesser the distraction, the more is the concentration. The more is the concentration, the more you can imbibe. The more you can imbibe, the more you can become embodiment. And the more you become embodiment, the more you can donate virtues. And more you donate virtues, you feel happy. Okay? So imbibing virtues is to play with virtues, is to think of virtues, is to go into the depth of virtues, is to realize, understand, become embodiment, think, reflect, concentrate, contemplate on each and every virtue. And it's not that just you take some virtue and start doing it. You take out virtues from everyday's Murli. Take out virtues from everyday's Murli. For example, in today's Murli, at one point, Baba said, just you should be busy in Baba's service throughout the day. That is one point somewhere. Just you should be busy in Baba's service throughout the day. So, imbibing virtues. There are four types of bhattis. Gyan bhatti, yog bhatti, dharana bhatti and seva bhatti. At present, everybody is engaged in the fourth type of bhatti, which is the easiest. This is very easy. Go and start doing seva. This is very easy. the more difficult than that is the second bhatti is yog bhatti. Half of the people are engaged in this and half of the people are engaged in this. So these are the most important two things people love very much, seva and yog. The least loved subject and the least and the most misunderstood subject is jnana. Today's Murli starts with Baba has come to explain you why. Today's Sakar Murli, Baba has come to explain you, Sushil Bhai, why? Because you are you have not understood it. Baba explains to those children who have understood less. That's why he comes to explain you. So the least, the most neglected subject in this university is Gyan. Because Gyan, to be in Gyan means to attend, to reach Murli class and write Murli points. That is the overall definition of being in Gyan. If, this is the only definition of Gyan. But Gyan is not that simple. Gyan is very deep. So imbibe virtues. Om Shanti.